Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, is a proud member of the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, the two-time winner of the Fan Favorite Podcast Network from the Star Wars Podcast Awards. To learn more, go to makingstarwars.net. Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 77 of Tatooine Sons. The mythology of Star Wars was sent into hyperspace when Qui-Gon Jinn first mentioned the prophecy of the Chosen One in The Phantom Menace. This prophecy has recently been fully revealed in the novel Master and Apprentice. But is there more to it than meets the eye? This week, we take a closer look at this central element of the Skywalker saga. Plus, we'll catch up on some hot takes and more.
A prophecy that misread could have been.
It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
The Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Turbis?
Do or do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that Porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
Not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars from the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Out of practice, we are again.
I was not prepared. I think that's a running theme. Achuta Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you probably don't know what the big deal about the prophecy is.
Oh, the Chosen One prophecy. Do you guys understand that the Chosen One prophecy was not a part of my Star Wars experience growing up?
Really?
Have you guys grasped that idea?
Yeah.
It did not exist. Yeah, in the original trilogy.
It was introduced in the prequels.
When I sat in that theater with Matt Weisgerber in 1999, and they started talking about
The Chosen One,
Star Wars changed.
You ate Zaxby's before that.
I did eat Zaxby's before that. So.
And of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad, the Bowtie Jedi guy.
We're back! You guys know that. That's from Poltergeist 2.
Oh, yeah, because we've seen
Poltergeist
2. We haven't
seen
Poltergeist 1.
I wouldn't watch that garbage movie. But anyway, no, I mean, it's a classic, but I wouldn't watch that kind of stuff.
You get out of practice. You miss 1 week, and you're kind of
like... forgetting everything that's going on. But we're going to have a great time.
That's intense.
Nothing significant happened since the last episode other than the fact that they announced the dates of Star Wars Celebration 2020 in Anaheim.
And we got tickets.
They put these tickets on sale. We got our tickets in our room. Woohoo!
We actually got an official hotel block this year.
And they have sold... Well, we had an official hotel block last year.
We did.
We had to add an extra day later on.
Oh, that's right.
But that worked out. It was through the block. No, it was through the block that we got the
hotel. Because that's why the shuttle pickup was
right outside. Well, Desert Palms.
Yeah, but anyway. Yeah, Desert Palms, which is a great place right down the road from the convention center, as well as Disneyland. It's our place that we like to stay when we go to Disneyland. Mm-hmm. And so we're excited about that. We maybe have some new things coming down the road that we'll be talking about at the Desert Palms. Hint, hint. we're hoping. Can you guys believe that all of this, tickets, the 4-day pass, of course, the Jedi Master we knew would sell out the first day,
yeah.
But it sold out in like 5 minutes. And then the 4-day passes sold out within less than 2 hours.
Yeah.
Somebody waited.
All of Saturday's tickets sold out by the end of that day.
Mm-hmm.
And now Fridays are sold out as well. There's just a limited number of Thursday and Sunday tickets. What do you guys think about that?
That's nuts. I heard that the previous Anaheim, so a couple.
I guess 2016 was
that. 2015, I thought.
Oh, 2015. You're right. 2016 was back in London.
Yeah.
Right.
People said that you could buy tickets up to a couple weeks before the convention. Chicago, you had a couple days.
I think it was like 5 or 6 days before day.
Yeah,
before
we were able to think about it. This, really weird.
Well, for Chicago, we got the tickets the day of. I remember that. It was
basically. Well, we got them the day of. The story was that was our anniversary, same as this year. That they went on sale. I think it was the same date. With it. I remember we, Christy and my anniversary, and we all went to Philippines. You guys remember going to Philippines and Temecula for lunch? And we'd been talking about how they were selling lots of tickets. We were sitting there having a conversation about how tickets were selling faster than they expected. And I was getting a little bit nervous, and I went back to the office and I went ahead and bought tickets, for it. And it was like 4 or 5 days later before those tickets sold out. Now, the year before Star Wars Celebration Orlando, we didn't get 4-day passes, but we got every day. We ended up not buying Sunday because they were all of the individual day passes were still available.
Mm-hmm.
When I bought tickets in like December for Christmas.
Yeah.
It was months after it went for sale.
I got a 4-day child.
You got a 4-day because they still have 4-day children, but the adult passes, they were out, but we got 3 of the 4 days
mm-hmm.
Without any problem. And Sunday was still available too. We just didn't buy it.
Yeah.
Though we went.
Yeah.
This is madness.
At least we admit our mistake.
Perhaps this would have been the better sound effect for that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, anyway. Blown away.
We could not do that this year.
Star Wars is dead, guys.
Yeah, you're right.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
Some people think that it sold out quicker because of how fast Chicago sold out.
People are buying them sooner and things like that.
And people might be worried about it selling out.
And there's the element of the scalpers, which we don't want to get into, and that's going on. I think that's going to come back and bite a lot of people in the butt.
Somebody has looked at eBay, looked at the full amount of people. Some people are selling tickets that are still on sale for, like, more than they are. But in total, it's only, like, 20 people who are
doing it. Yeah, I don't think it's that much. I think it's fans.
So do we know how many are attending?
Well, 61,000 attended Chicago.
Well, and then like 60, I think, attended Anaheim. So there are people.
So you're going to be looking at that 60,000.
Anaheim's smaller.
It's just barely smaller.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
If somebody put the maps of Orlando, Anaheim, and Chicago, the convention center is all up next to each other, and they look at the same.
Well, I think the difference is the Wintrust Arena in Chicago and then the Anaheim Convention mm-hmm. Center are arenas, like, are the similar things. And the seating is like, I think it's like 1,000 seats less, or 800 seats less in Anaheim than it is in Wintrust. But you got to remember how many seats that they were blocking off in Chicago. I think it's basically the capacity is going to be about the same.
Just nervous because I don't think we're going to look out like we did last year.
Oh, as far as the lotteries and stuff like that? Well, we'll just have to wait and see. We went and saw Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
And so I mentioned that because I think it's given me a new appreciation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Those people that walked out of The Last Jedi just flat out disappointed. That was the way it was for Toy Story 4. I know we're in the significant minority of this, and we're not ever going to try to argue why we didn't like Toy Story 4 compared to the original three Toy Story movies. I just personally, and I think we all agree on this, felt like it was unnecessary and disconnected from the original movies. And so for us, it wasn't what we expected and what we wanted. from Toy Story. Having said that, that the point of that is not to say we don't like Toy Story 4. The point of that is to say I relate now. I understand on an emotional level. I'm not a huge Toy Story fan, but I loved, no. I mean, I liked those movies.
Right, yeah.
And I was really disappointed in this movie, and I understand better what it's like to be a Star Wars fan that did not appreciate, did not like the direction that Rian Johnson took The Last Jedi. Which is why I have completely stayed out of Twitter in the last 4 or 5 days as everything with The Last Jedi has exploded again. I just don't even want to get involved in it. But what are your thoughts now, not as it relates to Toy Story 4, but as the relationship with like the opinions of The Last Jedi detractors and how this movie changed your thoughts on it?
As I walked out of the movie, we all thought the same thing. We now agree with The Last Jedi.
Well, we don't agree.
We don't agree
with The Last Jedi people, but
we understand.
We understand where they're coming from. I wouldn't say that people think The Last Jedi was unnecessary.
I think a lot of haters do. Yeah, absolutely do. Mm-hmm. Like they wish the movie was never made. I don't know if I'd go down that point.
No.
It just didn't fit for me.
No.
It didn't feel like Toy Story to me.
And,
but I've heard that about The Last Jedi. I've heard people say that The Last Jedi didn't feel like Star Wars to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I appreciate those people significantly.
And just even the animation with Bo Peep changing everything about her fashion style and everything.
It all changed.
She was like a shepherd.
Yeah, but for me it was more of, it always was, Woody's commitment was to the children constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And
hopefully the band Hammer has been released.
And...
Spoilers.
Yeah. And it didn't feel that way in this. And then the relationship between Woody and Buzz just was different with this one. But again,
in regards to The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the first thing I thought when I walked out of the theater. And as we were walking back to the car, I was like, wow, I can relate better with The Last Jedi. Not haters, the people who didn't like The Last Jedi.
Yeah, not the toxic version.
No. I can agree with where they're coming from. You know, if they just genuinely didn't like the movie, you know, I can see where they're coming from with Luke's character. Didn't necessarily feel the same. It just felt it had different pacing from the rest of the films. I mean, I can see where they're coming from. It was definitely important.
Even the music was different. You know, I mean, there was always these iconic songs in the original Toy Story movie.
A little Western.
Well, yeah. I mean, you always had like these tunes that you walked out of the theater with, and it wasn't that case.
Yeah,
I noticed with this one. It just felt different to me with it. But enough of that Toy Story and The Last Jedi. Let's move on and talk a little bit of Star Wars. But before we do that, I want to mention we did have 3 amazing reviews. We're really excited about that. We've got... It's funny, DJ Disway, if you guys recall that name, that was one, he gave us a review before on there, and he removed it so he could give us another one. So, thank you,
all right,
DJ.
This is madness.
Yeah.
We're not complaining.
Absolutely. From Father's Day 2019. So, we got to listen to our last episode, the Father's Day episode. He said, this was hands down some of the best. I got to read this. This is pretty awesome. Hold on. I'm going to just go ahead and do this.
Great kid. Don't get cocky.
It's a preemptive strike there. This was hands down some of the best Star Wars content I've listened to in a while. Wow. Pretty awesome. I love the entire segment on father figures and the perspective given because we live in a world with fewer and fewer good fatherly examples. Sir, you are a great fatherly example, so keep doing what you're doing. Thank you, Robert Scott Texas.
Cool.
A little bit. I mean, thanks, dude. You're awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
Thanks.
That's
really cool. Then we also had from our new Patreon supporter. He went on, and we hadn't seen it yet. So DJ Blake Junior 7, our new Patreon.
This guy like joined Twitter for us, right? Is that guy?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And he's like every tweet that he does, regardless of whether or not it's Star Wars, it has hashtag Make Trip is Canon on it. So thank you very much, sir. A great combination of young and older I would not say David is old, I'm probably older, but a great podcast.
A lot of like...
No. Exclamation point. Fresh takes, polls, reviews. It's a one-stop shop. I've been searching for a podcast just like this. Give it a listen and you'll be hooked. Hashtag make Turbis Cannon. Hashtag make Solo 2 happen.
I agree with both of those hashtags.
Yeah, let's see. There we go.
Impressive.
Oh my God.
Impressive. Hey, and Donald, DJ.
Most impressive.
I know you're listening to the show, and you probably listened to it early because you were real excited that we were putting out this episode tonight. Said you were excited to be listening to it on Wednesday. I know you're going through some stuff outside of Star Wars land and all that. I want you to know that you're in our thoughts and prayers, buddy. And I'm super excited that I can say that without getting in trouble. But that was just a little dig at something that happened today. Yeah. Anyway.
I appreciate him saying, you know, it's a one-stop shop, because I'm a guy who appreciates, like, versatility and getting everything in one package, so I appreciate that. Thank
then we got Tyler Bucks. You guys remember Tyler?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't seen this one because I wasn't getting updates on Buckshot. our reviews, but his podcast, or his Apple podcast ID is Buckshot, which I thought was great, with a dollar sign for the S.
Yeah, like you said.
One of the highlights of Celebration 2019 was recording the Episode 9 panel reaction podcast with David and his sons, Nate and Sam. They have such a bright future ahead of them, and their father, David, has a great head on his shoulders. Wow, thanks. Uh-huh. You're awesome, dude. Can't wait to work together more in the future, which there are some exciting things coming, which we can't wait to share about.
I'm kind of overlooking it.
We talked about it. Remember the Facebook stuff.
Oh, that's right. Never mind.
And keep up on that Star Wars fun and positivity on the podcast. Tyler Bucks from Chatter Squadron. If you're not listening to Chatter Squadron, what do you guys say to this?
Definitely give them a look.
You're not a true Star Wars fan.
They're
all right.
Hilarious, by the
they
way.
Are awesome. There is no poll this week, so for fun, we're just
you've
got to say this week's podcast poll of the week.
This week's podcast, last week's podcast poll of the week.
It doesn't exist this week because
frankly, I didn't save it into my bookmarks, and we didn't have a lot of votes and very few comments, and Twitter deleted it. All right.
And Twitter deleted it.
Impressive.
Oops, wrong one. Which one do I want?
I got a bad feeling about this.
We really do need to get you a soundboard.
I knew the whole sound. But I'm doing okay with this. All right. So I guess we should move on to the next segment.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The English translation of the Japanese title of The Rise of Skywalker has fans wondering if there's a future to the Skywalkers. Meanwhile, another star of the film talks about being emotionally overwhelmed by the story, and Lucasfilm has taken J.J. Abrams' protege and put her in full control of a galaxy far, far away. It's time for Hot Takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
So the Star Wars Rise of the Skywalker gets... Or it's The Rise of Skywalker.
The Rise of Skywalker.
It's on your shirt. I should be able to read that.
The
Rise of the Skywalker. You'd be surprised how many podcasts actually are still saying that.
Really?
The Rise of the Skywalker.
Yeah, good people that were like in the media room with me. You know. Anyway. But not there. It's not you, Bro Axiom. You guys are awesome, and you get it right every time. Okay. Star Wars Rise of Skywalker. It should be The Rise of Skywalker. Let's just go ahead and 5, 4, 3. Anyway, Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker gets a different title in Japan. This is from Comic Book Review. We'll put the link in the Hot Takes segment of our web, MakeyStarWars.net page and our webpage, TatooineSons.com. According to the fan Twitter account Star Wars Stuff, the film's Japanese theatrical title is Star Wars Dawn of Skywalker. Have you guys not seen this?
I have.
Okay. Suggesting a new beginning of sorts for a Skywalker family in the eagerly anticipated film. BB Nate. What do you think about this possibility?
You know it's in slow news week when you're taking translations from other countries of a Star Wars title.
It happened with Force Awakens, it happened with Solo, it happened with all of them.
Last Jedi is plural.
The Spanish Jedi.
And it's not the first time it's happened. Remember the Polish one with Rise of Skywalker. So.
Resurrection of Skywalker.
What do you guys think?
The Dawn.
It's interesting. I think that's pretty much your answer to everything. I don't think he really has much of a future for Star Wars, like we said. It's a very loose translation. It's a translation. You can't do much about it.
You can't trust Google.
Yeah.
Google Translate's not a lot.
No, I don't think it's Google Translate here, guys. I'm not thinking that at all.
No, I do not think it means that we have a future for the Skywalkers. I feel like we need to be done with the Skywalkers. While, yes, Star Wars is about the Skywalkers, it has been expressed multiple times that this is the last in the Skywalker saga. Mark Hamill, I think I read somewhere that he said...
Hey, shut your mouth. We're going to talk about that some other time.
Oh, never mind. I'm spoiling things that I didn't even know I was spoiling.
Never mind. Go ahead and talk about it.
Okay, never mind.
Anyway, keep going. No, it's not. It's not. I looked. You're safe. Go.
Okay. I read somewhere that Mark Hamill said that this will be his last film.
And that he's coming back as a Force ghost.
Right.
He specifically confirmed that.
So, but this is his last film as Luke Skywalker. So, I don't think we should expect any more Skywalker stuff. I wouldn't, you know, I'm not upset with that. I feel like it's about time to move on. So I don't think this means anything. I think it's just translations are weird.
BB Nate. Nobody can hear your head nodding.
I think that with this dawn of Skywalker, I don't know, it may be the group or a bunch of other theories that we have talked about, it may be meaning for that, but it
could be like the Skywalker's idea coming
going forward. Yes, but like Sammy said, I think it should just end it off. It's the last movie, let's just leave it at the last movie. Nine movies in one saga can get really overdone. Yeah. I mean, I love the movies and all, and the storyline's amazing for now. But
let's move to a different storyline. Let's move
to a different storyline. I'm ready for something fresh.
I mean, the only thing that is being suggested that seems remotely interesting to me is the idea of maybe it's, you know, it's Rey, Finn, and Poe moving forward in another series of films, and you've got Rey training a new generation of Skywalkers, like the Chiss children element for us is what we've talked about, that kind of thing. You know, I mean, I think that that would be an interesting idea. I think the dawn of Skywalker is simply a translation choice that they made.
Yeah.
As in like the dawn of the sun versus rising the sunrise.
Yeah. That's
the same word. It's just utilized differently. You can't translate from English to Japanese and then back into from Japanese into English. And then make a ton of conclusions about that. It'd be like saying, you know, the Bible was written in Hebrew, the Old Testament, and let's translate it into English from biblical, and then translate it back into Hebrew from the English, like the Hebrew never actually occurred, and you would get a completely different Bible, with it. It's just bad academics to make a judgment.
There are entire YouTube channels about where they'll take lyrics from a song, run it through Google Translate a whole bunch of times, and then sing it again. And the lyrics make absolutely no sense. So,
all right. Enough of that. Carrie Russell. You guys know her, right? Zori Bliss. Yep. She says that the new Star Wars script made her cry when she read it.
Well, it's just a script with lines.
Well, she does drive Prius, so.
You know, you guys know her connection, like, with J.J.?
No.
Like, J.J. co-produced this TV show that made her a star, Felicity. She won 2 Emmys for it.
Never.
And then he brought her into the Mission Impossible movie, Mission Impossible 3, where she has that brief
role at the beginning. Oh, yeah, it was his movie.
I mean, there's lots of connections between her and J.J., interestingly enough. Carrie Russell said that when J.J. Abrams, and this is from abcnews.go.com.
It's a pretty safe
Why source. Do they do that? Somebody want to explain to me why Disney properties, ESPN, ABC, Disney Channel, all that, they have to have that like abcnews.go.com. Why do they do that? Why can't they just be abcnews.com? Why can't they just be ESPN.com?
But you haven't read the rest of the link.
Well, yeah, no, but like when you go to their website, it automatically goes to the .go.com. I don't understand that. Maybe somebody can explain.
Yes, because you expect us to know all the intricacies.
It wasn't really a question I expected an answer to, but it was a question I wanted to communicate.
You should preface that with this is
prefaced?
A rhetorical question.
Preface?
Preface, whatever.
Prefaced.
Preface, that.
Preface, yeah. Anyway, Carrie Russell says that when J.J. Abrams sent her his version of the script for Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker, it overwhelmed her.
In a good way or a bad way?
When I read his script that he wrote, I cried, she told the Associated Press in a recent interview. I mean, who knows what it will turn out to be, and I hope it remains true to what he originally wanted. Now, with similar statements having been made by Billy Lord, Oscar Isaac, Richard E. Grant, is this a sign of good things to come or just more pre-release hyperbole? BB Samuel.
Okay, so that's we have to both speak at the same time.
And you have to say the exact same thing. No, let's just go. Sam, I'll let you go.
I don't think it's, you know, marketing tactics or pre-release hype. I think these are, you know, they're genuine opinions. I'm guessing that her reactions are positive. You know,
oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, she would not come out and say she cried like she hated it.
Yeah, and some of the wording was a little bit vague. But, yeah, I assume that was the case.
When you're excited. In a Star Wars movie, every word has to be vague.
Yeah, I guess you're right. No, I'm excited. I think that she's got good opinions. She knows what she's doing. She's been in multiple hit movies, obviously not Star Wars.
And she's a Broadway star. She's in Burn This with Adam Driver right now on Broadway.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. But, you know, she's worked with JJ. She knows what she's doing. I think this is good. I'm sure the same things were said about Last Jedi, though. You know, people, actors saying, oh, I read the script. It was great. I know Mark, though, was hesitant. Mark read
Yeah, Mark was from the very beginning, you know, from the moment that he started talking about it, said he didn't necessarily agree.
But I don't really remember anyone outright saying, you know, they read the script and it was great. It's been a year or two. I can't remember. Yeah, a couple
too
of
long.
Years. A while.
2 years.
Since I've caught up on any of the, or remembered any of the interviews, so I could be wrong, but I don't remember hearing anything about that. So this is encouraging for me. I mean, we're going to go see it anyway. We're going to love it anyway, because it's Star Wars. But
are we planning on going to see this movie?
Probably.
Okay. Maybe a couple dozen times?
Maybe even at a premiere.
Red carpet premiere. We'd love that. Anyway.
And if they don't send us an invite, then we're going to be upset, especially if they don't send us an
They're
apology.
They're not true Star Wars fans.
Mm-hmm. And we got to get an apology letter, too.
That's right. That's right.
I've been
busting my backside for... Never mind.
What, like 2 years?
On this podcast, being a Star Wars fan. That's not what he said, by the way. What he really meant by that was that he'd been on this show for 5 years. He'd been a Star Wars fan his whole life. But anyway, I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt on that. It was poorly worded, but it was misinterpreted. So anyway,
he shouldn't have said anything.
Anyway, keep going. Let's go. Come on. We don't want to talk about.
I finished.
Oh, okay. What were you talking about?
Kerry Russell, loved it. You even brought up sort of the Richard Grant and some of that stuff.
Yes,
so.
I was wondering, because there's a lot of stuff circulating with just this script. Like, Richard Grant said that he walked in, told what his character was, and the room started spinning, and it was insane, but it looks like he's just a general.
He's a Legion General Pride.
We don't even know what a Legion General means.
I know, but I'm excited.
It's like Grand Moff, but in like the
First Order time, yeah.
So, whoopity-doo. Army officer.
He's a naval officer.
We gotta get that on our soundboard. Whoopity-doo.
Whoopity-doop.
Can we have DJ say that in The Rise of Skywalker, please?
Oh, yeah.
Whoopity-doo.
That would be cool. Anyway, you think it's just, it's good news, but you're not going to read too much into it?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's awesome. I think when fans of the movies get to be in the movies. And
I also just don't hope that this is just a fan service movie.
Oh, I don't think it's going to be. I think it's going to be amazing. We're going to talk a little
bit
more
about it. Or it could be like Endgame fan service.
That was good.
You know, when I think of movies that were fan service that surprised me and I still loved tremendously, mm-hmm. I think of Endgame mm-hmm. With that. I also think of Mission Impossible Fallout.
Yep. Yeah.
Because of, as being, you know, pretty good, pretty big Mission Impossible fans.
I love those movies.
All the different Easter eggs, all the little tiebacks to other movies all those moments. If you're a super fan, you're sitting there freaking out the whole time. Let's just remember that J.J. Abrams is a pretty big part of the Mission Impossible world. So.
That was a great movie, too.
All right, last one.
Two more.
They're making more?
Two more.
With Tom Cruise? Dude's old.
Is it going to be in a walker? All right, anyway. The Rise of Skywalker. The Rise of Skywalker co-producer Michelle Rejwan.
She's got machine guns pop out the side.
Hey, I'm trying to host a show here. You want to pay attention?
We're having fun.
I know we are having fun. A tennis ball game, like an up.
Yeah, like, right. The tennis balls are grenades.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, The Rise of Skywalker co-producer Michelle Rejwan hired as Lucasfilm's senior vice president of live action development and production. Source was Variety magazine. On this, you guys over the Tom Cruise thing for a moment. You guys heard that we can't. If you guys can't, you guys did hear that Justin Bieber like challenged him.
Yes, he's serious. He's trying to fight Tom Cruise. I didn't read why.
I'm just gonna be real honest. I got one thing to say to you, Justin Bieber.
Great kid. Don't get cocky.
You're gonna get your butt kicked if you get into a cage with him.
Well, I mean, didn't Tom Cruise actually like train for those movies?
He did all the stunts.
He did not all of
them. Well, most of them.
He did a lot of them.
I want to see this fight. I hope it's like the beginning of the Jason Bourne.
And now
they
were
just like one punch, you know?
There's now a new challenge where how much older is he?
I don't know.
Tommy's like 35.
Challenge
someone that many years older than you
to a fight.
Cage fight.
I'd be challenging Jimmy Stewart, probably, if I was doing
it. I don't know who that is.
Jimmy Stewart, It's a Wonderful Life.
He's still alive?
No, he's been dead for years. I was exaggerating. Okay. Kathleen Kennedy, this source was right.
Moving on.
Kathleen Kennedy said that Michelle Regwan would be responsible for shaping the future in all areas of story development, from theatrical film development to live-action content for Disney+. Kennedy also said that working with Michelle over the last 7 years as producer on both The Force Awakens and now on The Rise of Skywalker, that she has seen firsthand, her quote was, "I've seen firsthand her skills collaborating with writers and directors, and I've been incredibly impressed with her creative skills and her ability to manage the complexities surrounding the massive projects. I know the importance of building a team that you trust and having fun working with them. It's paramount to our success." What?
He made the trust tree.
Dave Filoni's gotten to Kathleen Kennedy. Regwan's resume is definitely impressive, including work on Star Trek Into Darkness and Super 8, along with the Star Wars films that she's been involved with.
Don't mind.
Now that this decision has been announced, what do you think this means for future productions in a galaxy far, far away?
Who is this lady?
Well, I mean, this is the problem when you're like a background co-producer and stuff like that. You're not J.J. Abrams. You're not Rian Johnson and stuff. But I would think, from what I'm reading, you know, the thing I see consistent with Michelle Regwan and her movies
is she
to J.J. Abrams, Super 8, Star Trek Into Darkness.
Into Darkness was the one with Khan, right?
Yep, Force Awakens, and now Rise of Skywalker movies. Those are all J.J. movies.
Right.
Okay? So I see two parallels with her.
Okay.
I see, just so you guys understand, she is to JJ what Ram Bergman was or is to Rian Johnson. They work really closely together. Now what we're seeing is she's getting ready to take on her new role. So I'm just letting you understand that relationship with JJ in the same way that you understand Ryan Bergman's is with Ryan,
right.
Okay? But I'm thinking back to a lot of the stuff that she was involved, that Kathleen Kennedy was involved with Steven Spielberg. Kathleen Kennedy produced and co-produced and worked alongside Steven Spielberg on some of his biggest movies. And then moved into she came out of that shadow and became a massive, you know, producer out on completely on her own. I'm not trying to diminish anything Kathleen Kennedy ever did with Steven Spielberg when I say that. I'm just saying that there was this really good relationship they worked together on, and then Kathleen Kennedy sort of moved to the next level with that. So I kind of get the feeling that that's what's going on with Michelle Regwan here. It's interesting, you know, who won the bidding war for JJ? Do you guys remember? Because it just came out last week.
The who?
The bidding war for JJ Abrams? Like going forward after this movie is over, he's like getting like an exclusive contract. I think it's Warner Brothers or something like that. Basically got him to completely partner with them on a whole bunch of different stuff. And so now JJ's moved. I don't know what movies it's going to be, but you can look it up online. There's lots of articles about it. I read one, but I saw lots of them. Anyway, because once I've read one, they all start sounding the same. But anyway, JJ's kind of going off and doing his own thing now. And he's not going to be involved in Star Wars after this movie. I'm almost certain of it. I think Kathleen Kennedy is saying, come alongside us. Let's do this. But what do you guys think? I mean, do you think this is what we're waiting for? They wanted to make this announcement with Michelle Regwan, bring her in, let her have her moment. And then she's going to be the one that's part of bringing out these announcements for new Disney Plus series like a potential Kenobi, potentially announcing Rian Johnson's series of movies, all these different types of things. What do you guys think?
No, I think it's definitely possible. One of the things that I thought of is, since she is so closely related with JJ, and they are releasing this now, I think that they think that Rise of Skywalker is going to do really well. Because they're putting all their cards out there that, you know, this lady, she was worked with
kind of JJ. Elevating her to the spotlight throughout the Rise of Skywalker stuff.
Right. So I feel like that they're putting a bet on that Rise of Skywalker is going to do well with putting her out there early.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I definitely think that she's gonna have a huge role. I feel like eventually she may take a mantle for president,
take over for Kathleen.
Yeah, something like that.
She's gonna have to prove her chops before you move into that role, because you've got to not only be an extremely smart and intelligent person, but you got to be able to take the heat that comes with that position, as Kathleen Kennedy has experienced. And so I'm excited. I think anytime you start making an announcement like this, you're going to see some amazing things come from. Yeah. What do you think, Samuel? Or BB Nate? Gosh, I don't even know my own son's names. BB Nate, go.
Yeah, I'm liking what's being said with the whole new Disney Plus series. Hope we get a Kenobi. But like you were saying, I mean, she may take up the mantle of president, but it's a difficult job. And I don't know.
I think we're a long ways away from that happening.
Yes,
yeah, Kathleen Kennedy got a contract.
I agree, but I don't. Myself, I don't know who this person is. I don't know if they've taken a lot of heat for
anything. Well, I'm not actually asking you guys to give your interpretation of who this person is and what she's done. What I'm asking you guys is, do you think that now that they've made this announcement that this is going on, that this means there's more announcements coming about new movies, new series, that kind of stuff? Otherwise, what's the point of even bringing this person on and doing this?
I think definitely, especially because there's not going to be any movies for 3 years. Now, I don't think they said that there aren't going to be movies on Disney Plus. They may do some stuff on there, but I think that they're doing this so that after The Rise of Skywalker, they can be like, all right, here's some stuff to look forward to for the next few years till we start churning out some more movies. So I feel like that they're introducing her so that way we can get accustomed to her, get familiar with who she is. That way, when the first announcement's made, we're not like, who is this chick? You know, that's my thoughts on it, though.
Go BB Nate.
Yeah, I think that there, in the foreseeable future, there is no Star Wars news that they can release till Rise of Skywalker. We just don't know.
We're not going to hear anything more about new movies, new TV series, anything like that?
Well, what it's looking right now, no. But I do think that with this being released now, I think we're going to be seeing a lot more announcements later on, maybe tomorrow. Wednesday during the Star Wars show.
Well, I think they're going to let this thing ride itself out for a little while.
Let it breathe.
Interesting. We'll have to wait and see.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
So in the 20 years since the release of Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, Star Wars fans have wondered and speculated about the infamous Chosen One prophecy. This prophecy has continued to appear in canon and recently has been fully revealed in Claudia Gray's Master and Apprentice. So what is the Chosen One prophecy? And could it be a part of a grand plan for the manipulation of the Jedi constructed by the Sith themselves?
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
Your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, so I guess for those of you that may be new to Star Wars, or relatively new to Star Wars, we should probably take some time to explain the Chosen One prophecy. You can yawn or you get a sneeze. Which one are you going to do?
I don't know.
All right. Samuel the Hutt, I'm going to let it over to go, put it over to you.
I was not prepared for this.
I know, but explain just like in general, like how the Chosen One prophecy came about and how it's on a surface, like understood within the Star Wars canon.
I don't remember how it came about, but generally what it means and what it says is that someone will arise. I believe it says that of a virgin birth. I may be wrong about that. Someone will arise to bring balance to the Force.
Okay. You know,
between the light and the dark. That's
and so the, it, just, it's just to kind of clarify, the first time we hear this is Qui-Gon Jinn in The Phantom Menace. Mm-hmm. That's the first time we hear about this. And it's just there's someone is going to come along, a chosen one that's going to bring balance to the Force. And that's all we knew for a long time, mm-hmm. Throughout the prequel trilogies and that kind of stuff. Is it considered a settled understanding of who the chosen one is?
Not in my mind, but I feel like most people think it's Anakin, but from Rebels and other things, I feel like it could also mean Luke.
Yeah.
Or it could have meant Anakin. He failed, and now it means Luke. One of the two.
It could have been Ezra as well.
No.
Why do you say this?
Oh, he is okay. Very powerful in the Force as well.
Okay. So that's basically it. Let's just read the... All right, never mind.
Thought we'd get
a little bit further with that part of the conversation, but we'll just keep going there. All right. Here's the actual prophecy.
Okay.
From Master and Apprentice, but as it's written in the ancient prophecies of the Jedi. All right, exactly as it's written. Only through sacrifice of many Jedi will the Order cleanse the sin done to the Nameless. The danger of the past is not past, but sleeps in an egg. When the egg cracks, it will threaten the galaxy entire. When the Force itself sickens, past and future must split and combine. That's kind of weird. A chosen one shall come, born of no father, and through him will ultimate balance in the Force be restored.
So pretty much we always thought of the prophecy as the last couple lines there, not the whole first.
Right. A chosen one shall come, born of no father, and through him the ultimate balance in the Force will be restored.
Right.
That's what we always thought of as the prophecy. But there's a lot more to this. Let's break it down just really quick. And we spent more time talking about this on our episode back a couple of months ago after Star Wars Celebration with Anthony Breslin, because mm-hmm. yep. this prophecy itself influenced his theory about Rey being the potential, like a combining and all of that, and the egg cracking and stuff. Only through the sacrifice of many Jedi will the Order cleanse the sin done to the Nameless. Some people think that the Nameless... Who do you think that the Nameless could be?
Palpatine.
No, I
don't know. I can't.
The Nameless sound like it's a lot of people,
right.
Or beings, right?
Killed or massacred in some way.
Skywalkers.
Clones. Some people really feel like the clones were being... The Jedi Order failed. They threw these clones into this war. They created these clones. They were nameless. They were all numbers, fives, all that kind of stuff.
They gave each other names,
but that wasn't their names. They were given codes, mm-hmm. like kind of like FN2187 and all that kind of stuff. But that's it. I think that's interesting. The danger of the past is not past, but sleeps in an egg. So something that happened in the past that you think is gone isn't. It sleeps in an egg.
Mm.
Now, some people think that that's Vader and the cloning chamber, the chamber that he was there.
Yeah.
Some people think that it could be a clone scenario that's being played out with that. We'll have to see. When the egg cracks, it will threaten the galaxy entire. I have no clue what that could be. When the Force itself sickens, past and future must split and combine.
I'm confused.
And then we have the part we always know. Right. Chosen one shall come, born of no father, and through him will ultimate balance in the Force be restored.
It's like whoever wrote this was like, how confusing can we make it?
Well, and that's sort of the big point of the Master and Apprentice concept or storyline when it comes to the prophecies, is they are not easily interpreted. They're not easily interpreted. They're complicated. You could have multiple different positions on them, and they can cause, you know, as Yoda said, he consistently warned about this prophecy and others. It was especially mentioned in the Master and Apprentice book.
And Dooku. You're talking about a little bit of Dooku.
Yeah, and the future is always in motion, he says. It even says that trying to interpret these prophecies is an exercise in the dark side of the Force with it. And so that's why it's interesting that that Qui-Gon keeps being pulled into it. I thought it was interesting. I read that it was written in an ancient High Alderaanian language, and they believe that most believe that it predated the Jedi Order, that this prophecy existed long before that.
But doesn't it mention the Jedi?
It just says only through the sacrifice of many Jedi. Yes, but
couldn't have predated.
But Jedi could be they could have people that were Jedi before
that's the
Order
prophecy.
The Order was created, and that could be the prophecy element too.
Okay.
So
yeah, it could have existed before the Order, but there could have been Jedi.
Yeah,
that makes more sense.
I want us to go to our favorite episode of all time in Star Wars Rebels. Which is?
Purgles?
No, not. Hold on.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
That was like the worst episode of Rebels, but it was.
It became one of the best episodes because of what happens at the end. But, anyway.
But it was Twin Sons.
Yeah, Twin Sons. We have our friend Maul in this. Not Darth Maul. He's Maul at this time.
He's Maul.
And he gets into the confrontation with Obi-Wan, with Ben Kenobi. Ben kicks his tail in a second. And then cradles it in his arms as he dies, just like Qui-Gon did, which is an amazing bookend to that storyline. I'm going to cry a little bit. Anyway. What does Maul say about the Chosen One in that moment?
Is he the Chosen
One? Is he the Chosen One? I'm referring to Luke.
Well, yes. Okay. Is he the Chosen One? And then what does he say about what the Chosen One will do?
He will avenge us.
He will avenge us. Mm. So my question then to you guys is, do you think if this prophecy is as old as it seems to suggest, predating even the Jedi Order potentially?
So thousands of years.
Could it be a prophecy that existed within the Sith Order as well? Could the Sith have their own Chosen One prophecy? Mm.
Well, I feel like if this existed before the Order, the line between Sith and Jedi was probably a lot more blurred. It wasn't as defined. So there could...
Well, yeah, no. I mean, I think that's pretty much what we know
from
pre-Old Republic times and that kind of stuff, that this line was very much blurred. Mm-hmm. The balance of the dark and the light and all that kind of stuff. And then it fractured. We talked about that with JG when we were talking about the comics and all that, some of the stuff that they've revealed about that. So could they both have known, could both orders, BB Nate, have known about the Chosen One prophecy before this division took place, and then have their own interpretations of that?
I don't know where this is coming from, and it's not entirely related, but maybe there was just this one group of Force users. They were all called the Jedi, right? And they were using all aspects of the Force, right?
Okay.
Then this prophecy came about, and eventually they started deciding what it should mean, and eventually the split occurred, and that formed the Sith and the Jedi. But they still sort of both kind of held on to that same prophecy, but they had different interpretations. Hence the Jedi and the Sith.
Hold that thought. And remind me about that.
Okay.
All right. What do you think about this idea? Could this have been something that predated both of the division of the Jedi and the Sith? And could they have both continued that same prophecy or same, had that same element of the Chosen One prophecy within both orders?
I'd say yes, I think this did predate the Jedi Order and the Sith Order and everything. I think it predated that. But I do think that they had different interpretations of the Chosen One prophecy.
But they both could have had the Chosen One prophecy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think the Chosen One prophecies could be not exact opposites, but have the exact opposite ideas of what could be going on.
Kind of like biblical interpretation.
Yes.
Where you've got the same verses or the same passages in scripture, but different religious denominations and different groups interpret those verses very differently and then actually divide over those interpretations. It's actually a very, and let's just be honest, this idea of the Force and the Jedi and all that, that is the religious element of the Star Wars galaxy. So if they're taking these prophecies and these scriptures, for lack of a common phrase, for our purposes here, and interpreting them, like coming down very strongly on two different sides of what that could mean, and then going and diverting it, it could even be that the prophecy, as it's listed by the Jedi, is worded differently than the prophecies that were listed as it was originally written. When it was first given, and the Sith have a completely different version of it as well, but this idea of the Chosen One exists within both.
Yeah, and even with the Sith and Jedi code, they're exact opposites, but they both have the same idea.
Well the same patterns.
Have the same ideas too, yeah. I want to see a movie of this now. This whole order and then this like civil war between them.
Oh, so you're talking about the Benioff and Weiss and then the Rian Johnson overlapping series of trilogies?
No, I'm just talking about maybe Benioff and Weiss doing this or something.
This is where, remember we talked about this, right? This is going to be the Benioff and Weiss do the Sith version and Rian does the Jedi version, and then they come together for the big, great Civil War battle.
Well, no, because at the beginning.
Maybe it happens at the beginning. Who knows? All right, anyway.
But I think it's an interesting idea.
Yeah, here's what we do know about the Sith. They have got this history of manipulation, okay? Going back to before the Old Republic and all of this kind of stuff with the rule of two, right? So my understanding, again, I'm not an Old Republic guy. I'm not a Legends guy. You give me the original trilogy movies, the prequel movies, and then new canon since 2012.
That's pretty much anything new canon, though.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, I'm not grounded in all of that lore that so many people are with it. But we do know that this idea of Darth Bane and the rule of two existed in the pre-Republic era, Old Republic era, or in that time period. The rule of two being by Darth Bane, the specific rule of two is there should be no more, no less, one to embody power, the other to crave it. And the purpose of the rule of two was for them to hide themselves. Well, And to protect themselves from being destroyed by the Jedi Order until they were able to rise up and defeat the Jedi. That was the whole purpose of the rule of two.
What I understood is that in the Old Republic, there were too many Sith, and they started fighting against each other, and it became dangerous. So then he enacted the rule of two, so that it wasn't as chaotic.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But I think a part of the reason was because this constant battle was going on within the Sith. They were defeating themselves as much as the Jedi were defeating them in the Civil War. And so the result was Bane comes up with the rule of two in order to say, at least we won't be defeating ourselves. Let's hide. Let's build our strengths. Let's get more powerful in the dark side until we're able to overcome the Jedi and the light side of this. I think that's why I always understood that's sort of the way that it had progressed over the thousands of years.
Which just goes to show how powerful the Sith are, because two of them were able to
conquer the entire Jedi Order.
To conquer the galaxy under the nose of thousands of Jedi.
And it's just Sidious. Because, I mean, he gets... he rejects Maul. Dooku is killed. Vader is less than what he would have been had he not been
almost killed. And he got Vader pretty much after he had taken...
Exactly. It's Sidious that does this, which leads me to sort of the whole point. It's interesting. I'll come back to that in a minute. But it's interesting too, because if you see this connection between the Jedi and the Sith, you see that in Coruscant. You see that in the Jedi Temple. Have you guys, I mean, I know we talked about this. I remember this will be a fun memory, trip down memory lane, probably for you guys, but especially for our listeners. This is all the way in December of 2015. Okay. We're getting ready. It's the night before The Force Awakens comes out. And I found an article online that was like everything that you need to know about Star Wars before The Force Awakens. Everything that's happened in new canon, all the rise of, the journey to Force Awakens stuff. It was like all these bullet points of things. And I read this and it talks about, you guys know that the Jedi Temple on Coruscant was built over the ruins of a Sith temple.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. I remember reading that. The night before to you guys, and your eyes like lighting up trying to figure that out before we went to The Force Awakens. It's just a memory of mine.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. It's interesting. So we have where's the first Jedi Temple? This is not as copy. Octu.
Okay.
All right. So we're talking.
I'm spoiler night.
No, we're good. It's an Octu. Eventually they move the Jedi Temple from Octu to Coruscant. And it's not just this choice that has to do with the Galactic Republic, the Republic, or the Old Republic, or anything like that. It has to do with the fact that there's this location on Coruscant that they've known for millennia.
How do we know that the Jedi Temple is on Octu?
Because they've said that. Remember Han Solo in the Millennium Falcon with Finn and Rey? He's like, some people think he went to go find the first Jedi Temple.
Yes, exactly.
On Octu. Everybody knows.
Octu.
It's been established in the comics and stuff.
Well, because in the movies, you don't see that it was off, too. He goes and he says...
No, it's established in some of the comic books, and it's pretty well accepted that was the first Jedi Temple. Well, how do I know this? Because I looked that up on Wikipedia today. Which I actually trust Wikipedia. And when they want to move the Porg Stowaway title away from that to the Turbis the Porg title... we'll be happy to...
Wait, I thought Turbis was canon in there.
No, but the title of the section is Porg Stowaway.
Well, that's what he is. He's a Porg Stowaway.
But he's defined within that as Turbis the Porg.
Right, which is how it should be.
That's the way it should be. All is as...
Pilot of the Millennium Falcon. is Chewbacca. It's not Chewbacca.
But Chewbacca's tie. Chewbacca has his own page on Wikipedia. Yeah, well, Chewbacca. Anyway, all right. So the location. It was constructed. The temple on Coruscant was constructed atop a highly force sensitive location that had changed hands between the Jedi and the Sith for thousands of years. They warred over this location for a long time because it was so powerful in the Force. With it, a portion of the ruins upon which, like we talked about, the Jedi built their temple included a section of a Sith temple that led to a clouding of the Force that increasingly impacted the Jedi Council.
Yeah, Yoda talked about that.
Well, Yoda talks about that it's getting clouded, but the reason we find out is because I think it's in Clone Wars stuff. In the lost missions, we start seeing that they reveal that to some extent.
Okay.
That's what it is. And it was also in the Shattered. I think it's Shattered.
Which one?
Shattered Empire. Is that the comic books
after
that come out that happened right after Return of the Jedi that were released in the prelude to Force Awakens? Right. Mm-hmm. Shattered Empire. It talks about that. Poe Dameron's mom and Luke and some others are
I just read the first issue, so yeah. I don't know what the storyline is.
This is a really interesting idea that they brought into the storyline, because in the ancient religions, in like, you know, in battles between different gods in the ancient Near East and religions and stuff like that, you literally would build your temples to your god. Intentionally, you would build them on top of the temples, the ruins of the temples of the other gods. And the purpose was of that you were, that your nation defeated, the gods of the nation you defeated, you would tear down the temple to their gods and build your temple in, directly on top of it to demonstrate that your god was more powerful. So it's, again, going back to the religion side of this. With it, then Darth Sidious transferred the Jedi Temple into the Imperial Palace after the Order 66 and the fall of the Republic. So this has been going on with this. So you've got this battle between the Jedi and the Sith. You've got this thing that's been happening for thousands of years. And so all of this is sort of informing this theory that's come out. I'm going to talk about it for just a couple of minutes and get your thoughts on it. The theory is that could the Chosen One prophecy be a manipulation of the Jedi devised by Darth Sidious to bring about the destruction of the Jedi Order? Okay, so here's what it is. Putting all the pieces together, then, the Chosen One prophecy, this is from ScreenRant.com, I'll link to it. Putting all these pieces together, then, the Chosen One prophecy could well lie at the heart of Palpatine's master plan. He didn't just want to create and rule an empire, he wanted to rule it forever, is the idea. So they are suggesting that maybe this idea of Palpatine transferring his force essence, his essence from one body to another, has been going on for millennia. And that the whole Plagueis thing happened thousands of years ago. And Palpatine is just one element, one person that he's indwelt, that Sidious has indwelt through this process. And that's a theory with it. Because we really don't have a dating on Plagueis in the new canon.
Yeah, no, we don't.
We have a dating on Palpatine's birth on Naboo. But if he's being indwelt by Darth Sidious' essence, right, is the idea.
Which... Yeah, no, go ahead.
So, he knew he'd have to use Darth Plagueis' his power to manipulate the midichlorians and create the perfect host. Mm-hmm. This goes back to that host idea, right? But the complicating factor is that Palpatine wouldn't necessarily know where in the galaxy this powerful being had been born. Mm-hmm. So, if, you know, this is going on, he isn't going to be able to figure it out. So, Palpatine gave the prophecy of the Chosen One to the Jedi, or perhaps even fabricated it all together. Knowing that as the Jedi Order grew, the Jedi would organize themselves so that any Force sensitives would be brought to the temple. Which goes into stuff that happens in Rebels. It happens in
Clone Wars.
They're trying to steal these Jedi children or these Force sensitive children, and Sidious is sending bounty hunters to do it. And there's all these weird things that are going on with that. It's kind of an interesting idea. The Jedi would serve his goal, bringing his creation to Coruscant for training. And when they encountered this Force-born child, they'd naturally make him a priority. Okay, so when they found the person that he manipulated the Force to give birth to, they brought him to the temple. He would find out that had happened and know that this is the host he's been looking for. So what do you guys think of the theory so far? Is it plausible or?
Very. I'm liking it a lot.
Okay. All right. Interesting. If the theory is true, then Palpatine's millennia-long plan moved to its end game 9 years before Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, when he manipulated the midichlorians and created the Chosen One, as we see glimpses of in Dark Darth Vader, Dark Lord of the Sith, episode 25.
Again, the writers of that were like, how confusing can we make this comic and just put it out in canon?
Yeah, exactly. Presumably at this point in time, he'd already positioned himself so that should the child be brought to Tatooine, or excuse me, the temple, excuse me, he'd be able to subtly exert an influence. And then there's, you know, all the books that have confirmed that a Senator Palpatine had tons of connections with the Jedi. Mm-hmm. With this. So here's where Darth Sidious' plan almost went wrong. Because Anakin Skywalker is born on an outer rim planet of Tatooine outside of the Republic. Mm. And the Jedi never discovered him as an infant. Yeah. At all. True. So it falls apart. But fortunately for Palpatine, the dark side of the Force was ascendant, and as a result, events began to conspire against the Jedi. Qui-Gon Jinn, obsessed with the prophecies, one of the very few that actually did study him, stumbles upon a 9-year-old Anakin Skywalker on Tatooine and brings him to the temple. Palpatine must have been delighted because Anakin hadn't been trained as a Jedi from an early age. He was that much easier to manipulate. Darth Sidious' plan were back on track for the next few years until the moment when Anakin's body was so badly injured on Mustafar and he ceased to be a viable host. And that's when things all fell apart. And ever then, since then, he's been trying to recover. And which then you have potentially Rey, the Rise of Skywalker
stuff. Kylo Ren, Ian.
Kylo Ren, the son, the grandson of Vader, all this kind of stuff. What do you think?
I really love this idea. I love the idea of there being this one singular bad guy throughout millennia manipulating things to his plan, which makes it a little bit more plausible to where, like, for me, about Palpatine being able to manipulate the Jedi. In how old was he in Phantom Menace that we know?
Oh, I think in his 40s or so, 50s.
Okay. Yeah. Like how would he, in 40 years, be able to line everything up that perfectly to where he takes over? I think it makes
more especially sense. As a good portion of that, he's just he's a Sith apprentice. Exactly.
So I feel like
unless he is more powerful in the Force than we could ever dream.
Well, I feel like that could still be the case with him surviving over millennia. You know, jumping from host to host. He's been lining stuff up not for 40 years, but for thousands of years, you know? I think that makes it a lot more sense. It makes him seem like even more of a bad guy. You know, it's this cosmic scale bad guy, you know, who's been not just for 40 years or even, you know, however long that spans from episode 1 to episode 9. Because, you know, we talked about him jumping from in that timeline, too. You know, not just that, but for long before that, he's been the bad guy of this universe. You know, like, I hope this doesn't come across sacrilegious, but almost like Satan.
I was thinking the exact same thing. It's kind of like Satan really, for thousands of years, since the beginning of time until now, has been trying to manipulate. He's been trying to deceive in the Christian religion. That's what you believe.
Right.
With that, he is the ultimate evil. He is patient. It's very much like this story, this idea plays into that.
And so I feel like maybe this chosen one prophecy, maybe there's been a chosen one for thousands of years, right? But he hasn't been found, or he wasn't told what his greatest purpose was, or something.
Or it's just replicating itself.
That to where he wasn't able to.
He wasn't discovered or wasn't doing
that. Right. So this chosen one had to keep being reincarnated as well.
Or the Force just creating him.
Or something like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? To balance off Sidious or Palpatine or whatever we're going to call him. And then eventually things line up perfectly to where Anakin came and was found. And then that failed. So it fell into Luke. And then that failed with Luke. So it had to move to Rey. So it's like the Force is for thousands of years been trying to balance
and Ben out. Solo. I think Ben Solo is a big part of that. That's right. That theory.
The Force has been trying to balance out this evil for millennia, and then I feel like this would add a great way to conclude the story, and it would finish things off to where there's not this huge cosmic problem. Is that at the end of Episode 9, this chosen one, this greater being, overthrows the greatest evil in the galaxy, and then everything's okay because it's not been
everything
another
is restored
Sith
to the balance.
Right, it's not just been another Sith that's been around for a few decades. No, it's been the bad guy, the evil for thousands of years, and the good for thousands of years that have finally
come back into balance. That's interesting.
You touched on a little bit earlier that he is like has maybe more force ability than we could ever imagine. Maybe he is the essence of the Sith. Maybe he is the force essence.
The ultimate example. Right. He's the chosen one. Maybe he's the chosen one of the Sith.
He's the chosen one of the Sith. And he keeps moving.
He's the one that fulfills that prophecy. And the Sith prophecy, he thinks he's fulfilling it.
And he took the form of Plagueis, maybe. That was his host. And then he died and went into the host of Palpatine. And keeps moving on to different people. Maybe he took on an apprentice. And he died and moved to the host of Palpatine. And this isn't really weird, but I would just love to see a giant, at the end of Rise of Skywalker, a giant force battle between this...
These two Sith, chosen ones, a right, Sith version of the chosen pure, one, and then a Jedi version of the chosen one.
Pure light and dark, just fighting. Or maybe he tries to take another host, and it's just this big battle in between the force.
It would definitely bring things to a conclusion.
Well, and it's interesting because they have gone on record since the Star Wars Celebration. They have said that the Vanity Fair article specifically stated, and of course some of that stuff they've already had to retract, but they didn't retract this one. The Vanity Fair article stated that this will bring the conclusion of the millennia-long battle between the Jedi and the Sith.
I feel like this is a little bit too good to be true. I don't think this is going to happen because this sounds amazing.
Like you said, it would be an amazing fan service.
Right, but I feel like it's... Yeah, no, there's no
it's
way we hit
for
this
Disney
on the nose.
With Avengers.
No, but I'm saying there's no way we hit this on the nose with...
Well, we didn't come up with this theory.
No, but... I'm just saying, you know, all the details and stuff. I don't think this is going to happen. It's too... Good to be true. I'm hoping JJ figured this out before we did or something.
Maybe this is what Ryan's movies are going to be about, how the front end of all this started.
I really like this idea. Because it becomes more than just spaceships and lightsabers. You know, it is good versus evil.
And it's fun for us. Because we can draw connections to what we think, as we've said, we've been clear on the show from the very beginning, what we consider the biggest, the greater story that's out there, the story of between the true battle between good and evil, and so it helps us tie those connections a little bit more. And we probably are reading more into this story as a result of that understanding of that battle, but I think it's going to be fun to see what happens.
Now I'm going to be disappointed if this doesn't happen.
No, you won't.
Well, on that note, anything else you guys want to talk about?
Anything else?
Del Rey reveals the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive cover for Thrawn Treason.
Have you seen this, guys?
Yes.
On red eyes.
They're all Chiss.
It took me a second to figure it out. I was like, I was tired.
I mean, it's obviously the Chiss ascendancy behind him.
Right, no, it was early in the morning. I didn't really catch it until someone, like... Pointed it out.
I looked right away when I saw it.
And I'm like, oh, dang, they're going there. But that doesn't make sense because I guess it's really not campy treason because, you know, he's still with the Empire and Rebels.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that story plays out.
And then the next Marvel Star Wars miniseries includes Snoke backstory and Ben's fall to the dark side.
What everyone's been asking for since the last...
Hello!
And, right after Last Jedi, we were talking about Snoke's backstory and how it wasn't released, and some people were disappointed about that. And I said that they should release it in maybe a comic or a book. Talk about that. And then
why
aren't
we getting royalties off this?
I know, gosh.
And then you...
Lucasfilm, you steal our name, and now you steal our ideas.
I'm expecting an apology letter in my RPO box
by
next week.
Just tickets to the premiere. That's all we're asking.
That too.
And... You were like, no, because then people would have to buy more things and all that kind of stuff, and then they'd be disappointed. I think that people are going to be more excited that it's in a comic form than anything, because that's a very original Star Wars fan kind of thing, to read comics
and
about backstory.
They can just quickly tell the story, not have to write a whole book. You know, it's just one or two issues, and you're done. You've got the backstory.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get all of his backstory, but I think we're going to find out more about Snoke, and I also think we're going to understand. There's no doubt in my mind that this is... I hate to say this for all of you guys that aren't a big fan of this, but...
I got a bad feeling about this.
Redemption is coming with that. So, Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker is not going to be doing a panel at San Diego Comic-Con 2019. What do you guys think? We shouldn't be surprised. because Anthony Breznick had told us this on our episode that he was given
information,
and people were mad at him because he had never, he reported it. And he's like, I'm just telling you what I've been told. Don't get angry with me because I said it. So it's been this big news release this last week, but
nothing's happened. We're just kind of like,
okay. Basically, they said they couldn't have a surprise celebration afterwards. At,
well, there's so D23 is like 2 weeks after Comic-Con.
Yeah, so just release stuff there.
Yeah, and they're not doing a trailer at D23. Don't get excited about that. They'll be doing a trailer before the Maleficent 2 movie in October. It's the week that they always do the trailers for the Star Wars movies, and it's the one Disney movie that they aren't sure is going to do well in the theaters.
All we'll do...
They're going to be release Frozen and that right before it.
We'll do our A-list thing, go watch and sit in the theaters.
And then find a different movie to go see after that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's probably true.
We won't even buy...
Because we haven't even seen Maleficent 1.
I have no desire to.
Like, for a few months after, I'm like, wait, a movie, Disney movie came out?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's just be honest, though. True. So,
like,
it has? You know, I'm saying it will.
This week's been Big Bold Letters Podcast Poll of the Week. Pretty simple. The Chosen One prophecy is a true prophecy about Anakin, up to interpretation, a Sith manipulation, or other comment.
Boy, that all rhymed. That was pretty good.
You like that? That's good. What do you guys think? What would be your vote? Not what you want, what you think.
What was the last theory that we were talking about? Would that be a Sith manipulation?
Yeah, that's the Sith manipulation.
Okay, then theory. That one.
Well, that's what you want, but do you think it's actually going to happen? You really?
I'm going to do the non-committal one and just say up to interpretation.
I'm going
to
say it's probably going to end up being the true prophecy about Anakin. But, okay. All right. We want to thank all of our producers, DJ Blank, Emily Hoffman, Eric McGilvray, and Ian Thompson, and our senior producers, Kate Disney-Lugers, Judith Jessany, and Roberto Moreno. Hey, Grammy. And that pretty much do it. If you want to check out our Patreon page, we'd love for you guys to go check it out. Patreon.com/TatooineSons. A dollar gets you early access to our show and some other stuff. So we appreciate that. Go on social media. We're on all the different social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. What's that one? Snapchat? Because I have no idea how that works. And thanks for the reviews, you guys, this week. Tyler and DJ and Rebel Scum Texan, I think
that's the same person. Yeah, no. We got DJ Dizway and...
No, it's Rebel Scum Texan.
Right.
His Twitter handle.
And D Blake.
Right,
and DJ. Buckshot.
DJ, and then Tyler Bucks.
DJ.
Tyler Bucks. Yeah. All right. Thank you guys for that. Go to iTunes and review us, and we'll read your review on our show because we think you guys are awesome. Thanks for the 5-star review. Unless it's a bad review and you say bad words, I don't read those, just so you know. All right. Anyway.
We've gotten those?
On that note, anything else you guys want to say?
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you, always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.
Yep, yep.
Tatooine Sons, the Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or Disney and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site is located at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, and all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders.
When it comes to investing in innovation, trust the experts. Robo Global provides laser-focused investment portfolios that deliver access to robotics, AI, and healthcare innovation globally. The H-Tech portfolio captures the technologies transforming the medical space, providing unique exposure to best-in-class companies. Investors, turn to this diversified approach backed by research from the experts. Learn more today at roboglobal.com/HTEC.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.